The 643rd plenary meeting of the General Assembly is called to order. It is always a welcome occasion for the General Assembly to greet a Director General of one of the specialized agencies. It has done so on several occasions in the past. Today, we have the pleasure of having among us a distinguished citizen of India, Binay Ranjan Sen, recently elected Director General of the Food and Agriculture Organization. He is the executive head of one of the major agencies whose work is closely related to many phases of the United Nations economic and social programs. Indeed, its work is concerned with a number of questions which are being dealt with during this very session of the General Assembly. Mr. Sen has a wide experience in the realm of food and agriculture, acquired through dedicated service to the solution of problems in his own country, and more recently, in his association with the specialized agency of which he is now Director General, while acting as the representative of India at a number of conferences and councils. I am sure that I express the feeling of this assembly when I say that Mr. Sen's leadership of the Food and Agriculture Organization will assure this agency an increasing measure of success in the fulfillment of its objectives. I take pleasure in inviting Mr. Sen to the rostrum.
President, distinguished delegates, I am deeply appreciative of the honor that you have done me in inviting me to appear before you. In the past, I had addressed the General Assembly in a different capacity, as a representative of my country, India. Today, I come as the head of the specialized agency of the United Nations, which is dedicated to the promotion of human welfare in the field of food and agriculture. Mr. President, I know that this session of the General Assembly has been a very exacting one. My intervention at this stage must therefore have some clear justification. Perhaps one can find that justification in the fact that, for the first time, a representative of that part of the world, which contains 2/3 of the world's population, and very much of its poverty, has been entrusted with the responsibility of serving at the helm of one of the main organs of the United Nations family. To be chosen as the instrument of this new concept of worldwide sharing of opportunity is deeply gratifying to me personally. But what gives me strength and purpose is that I can speak for millions who are striving out of poverty today in the world's vast underdeveloped regions. I am, of course, conscious that my allegiance is to all nations, developed and underdeveloped. In fact, FAO is by and large, the instrument of the more developed countries to convey their technological progress to the less developed. If I mention the character of my representation, I merely remind you of a fact which must influence not my sense of allegiance, but my approach to problems in carrying out the great responsibility which has been entrusted to my care. In trying to set my bearings as I assume office, I feel the impact of certain forces more powerful than others, which must determine or influence the direction of our work. Among these forces, the striking progress in what may be briefly described as death control is one. Improved health and the lengthening of life in themselves are some of the most important elements of improved standards of living. But in the less developed regions of the world, a falling death rate by itself can have just the reverse effect by adding to the magnitude of economic problems which face them. Much has been said since the days of Malthus about the race between food production and population growth. To me, the implications for my duties and for the work of the FAO are clear. For surely, whatever our views on that race between food production and the growth of population, there can be no doubt that our efforts for the expansion and improvement of food production, even in the present world situation, must continue to be unrelenting and of the utmost urgency. It is this urgency which gives the momentum to the work that FAO is doing. Another movement which has the force of a revolution is the awakening of the common man all over the world. The sharply heightened sense of awareness of poverty among the poor works both ways. On the one hand, it provides an important stimulus to action, progress, and reform. On the other, it tends to create new problems by widening the gap between wants and fulfillment. The people who for centuries have had a submarginal existence are beginning to learn today that poverty is not a God-given state of life. Education and rapid means of communications bring them into contact with the wealthier civilizations, which they want to emulate as quickly as possible. Yet, in order to speed up their development, they need to devote even larger shares of their scanty productive resources to investment than before, involving further sacrifice of their present inadequate standards of living, except insofar as these deteriorations can be counteracted by more fruitful employment and greater productivity all round. The dilemma of this growing awareness of poverty and the need for further sacrifices in the present constitutes one of the challenges of our time, a challenge to which, among other agencies, FAO is devoting a considerable part of its time and energy. Side by side with this awakening of the common man is to be found another factor matching it in importance, the desire of the underdeveloped countries of the world to participate in and absorb the technical achievements of the West. It may be true to say that in this respect, we are on the threshold of a new era, the era of restoration of balance between the East and the West, the disturbance of which by the proud achievements of the West has been a dominant factor in the history of the last 500 years. One watches this new movement like a high tidal wave overtaking the long-forgotten backwaters of centuries, giving new life and new hope. Maybe the tensions we see in the world today are manifestations of the adjustments which are taking place in the process, which, when completed, will bring a better and a more peaceful world. Rapid growth, rapid and balanced growth or development must be our key word for the future. And there is also a close link between growth and stability. In a statement, Mr. President, which I made yesterday to the Second Committee on the issue of a world food reserve, I had occasion to refer particularly to the importance of that link in the economies of the underdeveloped countries. I said that there is no one master plan which one can see to level up differences between the rich and the poor that exist in the world. There must be simultaneous, coordinated efforts in many directions, in many fields. To that high endeavor, Mr. President, it will be my privilege, as the head of the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, to dedicate myself. There will be need for goodwill among nations, and there will be need for peace. Only that way we can approach our goal of a more stable and better world. Thank you, Mr. President.